Hello and welcome to MNIT Talks. My name is Paul Harvey. I'm the editor of MNIT and I'm here today with Adam Fillery, the co-founder of the Meetings and Event Support Association, otherwise known as MESA, which was launched in July last year to embrace and support innovation in the meeting and events industry. Welcome to the show, Adam.
Hello, Paul. Thank you for having us.
MESA started up in July last year. I was just wondering if you could tell us a bit more about how it came to be and how the first year's gone and why you started the association.
We actually started potentially, you could say, a year earlier. We were born from an organisation called the MDI, the Meeting Design Institute, which was run by Martin Van Est. And obviously, due to the pandemic, things become very difficult for certain operations. And the membership side of MDI was curtailed. We then looked inwardly and said, is this a community that should carry on? And that was the case. So for about a year, we bounced it around the previous membership and just said, yeah, how do we get this up and running? And that's where we decided, yeah, we'd be nonprofit. We would start at the beginning of July last year, as you mentioned. And essentially, it was just because of those community values within those tech companies that were part of the previous operation of MDI.
Who did you start the association with? Who else involved?
Well, there was one person we had to turn to immediately, and that was Sandy McCorbury. She's been around the events world for quite a while, and thankfully for us, she was wanting to carry on, despite how difficult it was around that decision-making time. And she'd been previously the membership manager of the MDI, so naturally she was able to port her contacts over to us and have those ready-made contacts available. And we also brought in a chap called Gordon Glenister, who at the start, I think we all felt the same about how we felt as individuals about the pandemic. We knew that we needed each other. We knew that the events world would come back at some point. And the question was, how do we bridge that period and give people some confidence and evolve to a point where we are useful and maybe in different ways as we grow?
In terms of how the first year has gone, how has it been for you? How have you found it? What achievements, what have you been, what were your main aims from the first year?
Yeah, the main aims were to get the membership to a level where we could be at least lightly financially sustainable. So we knew that it was a two-year plan. But in this first year, we knew we wanted to be getting up towards around 50 members. We knew that there was going to be a lot of fluctuation in the comeback. That seemed fairly obvious. But it has been a moving target. That's been the case for companies that have grown quite well and maybe haven't been able to give us quite as much time as we might have hoped at one point. On the other hand, there were those that were struggling. What was consistent is that everybody welcomed the opportunity to create the forum where the internal discussions could be had, Chatham House rules basis, and being as personable as possible. Now, I think we've achieved that. I really do. We had a wonderful dinner at IMEX just a couple of weeks ago, and that was evidence. That was the, we bore smiles simply because we'd reached that point. Yeah, it was 11 months down the track. We envisaged what that might feel like, and it felt like that. It was great to be around people. It was great to have the majority of the membership supporting that meal. And of course, being on site and doing business at the same time. So I think, that first year, we have ended up in a position where we feel we have the right basis for continuing. We have had to look at what we are going to do in the years to come. But I think we've met that very difficult, tumultuous time head on and spoken to everybody, kept it tight. And now we're looking to grow that membership base. And it's quite exciting. Good times.
It is an exciting time, but it's also obviously it's a challenging time for the industry at the moment. There's lots of challenges on the horizon. I was just wondering if we could talk a little bit about the industry pipeline and the talent hunt and things that are happening around that in the industry at the moment.
We've been discussing this for a few months now. We saw a lot of agency activity. We saw a lot of fallout in terms of personnel that were lost to the industry. And some have come back, some on different basis. But we knew that if the industry was to grow back to what it had been or close to it, we needed to inspire and infuse people back into the industry. Now, we can't do that on our own. It's just that we're looking over our shoulder and thinking, where is the talent going to come from if this is not any longer as an inspiring industry as maybe it once was? Those fluctuations, those job losses, some of the difficulties that different companies have had just means that we're treading carefully, we're moving slowly. My concern was that if we move too slowly, there'll always be a shortfall of the talent. We've seen some great campaigns run to bring people into the industry, but it does seem that if we're going to get back to the numbers, there needs to be a real push. And if we can be in any way any help to anybody that has ideas of how that should happen, from university graduates and looking at interns, that sort of thing, then we would be looking to embrace that. Also, I think some of the changes, especially around what a lot of our members are tech companies, that change from what was a focus to in-person with a light touch around hybrid, becoming much more reliant on the digital tooling that enabled the meetings industry to survive, or at least plateau whilst we waited for the comeback, has been an important period. But there seems to be a lot of technology out there now that is, I don't want to say redundant, but certainly less needed right now. We're back into in-person events. And I think, again, that's a difficult place for everybody to be, because you're constantly moving your own staffing around. You're trying to grow skills. You're trying to build the proposition. You're trying to make it commercially attractive and create ROI on some of that investment. So, you know, I think there's a lot of recalibration to be done. But I do think that means it's a good time to bring in people that have got, you know, a spirited version of what this future of industry might look like. And if we can help that, then great, we'll step in.
That vision of what the future looks like, we're going to need that spirit, aren't we, for moving forward?
I think we do. I think we've witnessed now what that curve looked like from post-pandemic and the anticipation of in-person, and what that has been over this last maybe 9 months or so. In that time, I think it was fairly true to say that people were just happy to be back in any capacity. I don't think it was as hard a sell as people maybe had imagined it would be. But maybe that sets us up for a fall in the future. If that first year back is everybody willingly turning back up on site and traveling, maybe the consciousness of travel and the pressures around finance will actually kick in now, rather than the comeback has been good. It may be slightly suppressed. So again, there's a lot of work to be done. There's no complacency on our part. We're trying to look around corners here and say, maybe some of our members will need help. Maybe others will too. And maybe there's much more room for collaboration and consolidating. There's been some fantastic speakers in the events world over the last few months that have really pushed themselves to be spokespeople for the industry. But I think maybe now it's a case of what else can be done to bring those voices together.
I know that you have a lot of tech companies, obviously, in the association and history in tech. I know you've spoken in the past about tech with humanist values. I was just wondering if you could expand on that a little bit and why that's important.
Absolutely. So this is a personal harbouring of a view as much as it is something I believe in. So I come from a background where I think I've always felt like I'm behind, you know, the adoption of technology. Now, that's for good reason, because I don't think you have to be there at the front. I think it's exciting, but less so for myself. What that often means is, you see, if you watch people that are adopting technology, they're not all comfortable with it. So my position is to try and make other people comfortable with technology. So I talk about it being light touch technology, easy to use, more considerate. And that means quite often that we're not talking about a single product here either. If you can consider how many platforms are out there right now, how many different events you onboard to, how many passwords, how many profiles you build. Actually, to the outside world, it's not the product you're onboarding to. It's all the others that you have a memory of and how they performed or not performed. And I think that's a bit of a muddy space then. Yeah, we're not excited by any one particular piece of technology. Brands stand out less to the end user. So I'm very conscious of what the end user is getting. And that often isn't the case when you're looking directly at the technology provider and the client. The event planner, the event manager, conference manager. And so I wonder whether or not we're missing a trick here. If we were onboarding people, making technology as simple as possible, hand-holding, video guides, a few more steps in between jump in and use it, then I think we'd have a much better uptake of the technology. Everyone will be a little more comfortable. And eventually, I guess you get some consolidation as to which platforms are then the best, just because they'd all be working on the same basis. But for me, humanist values are making sure everybody embraces the technology at a simple level.
I guess it's difficult because you have to have the early adopters, don't you, to work out which of the tech works in a way.
Well, yes, but we've had a few conversations with people that it seems to me that some technology has overstated its value. So we can look at engagement metrics or ROI. That means that people are more skeptical. So a new platform comes along and says, we do it better. A new platform comes along and says, we've got a new feature, but that's on top of the features we're already using. So my concern is that we're often asking people to do more than is necessary, and sometimes we're not targeting really what the user really, really wants. So there's a difference between what technology is doing because it can and what we are willing to accept and what it needs to do just to get us a reasonable experience before an excitable experience.
Is there any tech out there in the sector at the moment that you're excited about?
Yes, and honestly, there's one piece of tech that came along purporting to be something. I can't validate it at this early stage, but I think the proposal from Clipper as to what they will become and what they will be able to do, and there's another chap called Bogdan I've spoken to about his product, and they're in the same sort of video curation space. And for me, that's one of the areas. We've consumed a lot of video. We've taken part in a lot of online and digital presentations. And so anybody that can thin that out for me, they've got my backing. And I want products like that to win through. And I think that's where we should look at making lives a little easier. And the AI in behind those products is one of the areas where I think AI can definitely serve us, providing it's over a period of time and not rushing into impressing us on day one. But if those companies pull off what they say they're going to, then I'm excited for them. And I believe that's a good version of our future ahead.
What is it that those companies are saying that they'll do? Sorry, just to clear it up for anyone who's listening.
So in short, it's around video curation. So I would suggest that if you've got a whole bunch of video that is archived, the tooling here is meant to provide you with a snapshot of the best material for you. And that means identifying key phrases, elements, and tone within video. And that means that if I needed to quickly revise some content, let's say it's 1,000 hours of material, I should be able to have recommendations on what it is I would be looking for, and thus not treating myself to 1,000 hours in front of a binge watch about the events industry, more a couple of hours of checkboxing these particular bits of media and seeing then whether I need to just look around that particular time signature in a video.